Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Pei. On Ayin Tes Amud Bey's the last couple of words. Dioy, what is the shir of Hayitzah Shabbos when it comes to ink? Kedei lichtoiv, and the Mishnah says Kedei lichtoiv, shtei oisyeis, sufficient ink to write with it two letters. Tana, we learned in a brice, up on Pei Amud Aleph. Tana, we learned in a brice, this shir, this amount, this minimum amount of the dioy sufficient to write with it two letters. It doesn't matter which format you have the ink in, its location. Tana shtei oisyeis, this shear of two letters, is whether it's bidyoy, whether it's a dry ink, which needs to be dissolved to be used, or whether shtei oisyeis bekulmus, whether it's inside the quill, or shtei oisyeis bekalmarin, or the ink, which has this these two letters worth, is in a kalmarin, which is a inkwell. So wherever he is, in whichever shape or form, it has the same shear. You need to have enough ink to be able to use it to write two letters. Now the Rambam points out that actually, you also need to take into account the ink that's going to be lost along the way. For instance, the ink inside the inkwell needs to be of a larger quantity than the ink inside the quill, because you need to account for the ink that's going to get lost along the way. When you dip the quill into the kalmar, into the inkwell, some of the ink gets stuck on the walls of the quill. So you need to add a little bit to take that into account. So according to the Rambam, the shtir of shtei oisyeis is in actuality. You need to actually practically get enough ink there to write two letters. So the shiurim here are a bit different depending on the situation. You need to always account for the ink lost along the way. You need to ensure that, practically speaking, you can get two written letters out of it. Continues the Gemara, Boi Rav. Rav asked the Shaila, what about combining ink which is located in two locations? Oisachas b'dyoy, you have one letter's worth of ink, which is in a shape and a form of dyoy, this hardened, dried ink. So you have a little bit of hard ink, one letter's worth. And you have ois achas bekulmus. In addition to that, you're carrying one letter's worth of ink inside the kulmus, inside the quill. Do they combine? Do you have a shear of shtei oisyeis? Or further, let's say you have one letter in the kulmus and ois achas bekalmarin and one letter's worth inside the inkwell. Do these two combine? Mao, what is the halacha here? Do they total a shear? Can we be metzar of them or not? Teiku is left unresolved. Now, what would be the reason not to combine the ink that is located in, for instance, in the quill and in the inkwell? Why should we not be mitzar of them? They're the same type of item, same type of shear. Explains the Chasam Sofer that according to this Rambam that we just discussed, who tells us that there are slight variances between the amounts, the quantities that are going to be found in the kumus, which needs a bit less, versus the amount of ink that needs to be found in the inkwell, where it needs to be a little bit more to account for the lost ink when you dip the quill into it. So according to the Rambam, the shiurim are slightly different. So perhaps, and this is Rabbi Shaila, perhaps we can combine the two, because we learned this earlier in the Mishnah, that when we have two materials that are not aligned in their measures, lo yishavu b'shiurein, they don't have the same shiurim, we can't combine them, we can't even mitzar of them. So perhaps here as well, ink found in one location, for instance in the quill, cannot combine with the ink found in the inkwell, because two different shiurim are required. Or perhaps, at the end of the day, ultimately, this shiur is really based on the same principle. You need to be able to write with it two oisyeis. So ultimately, it's the same shiur. The way to get there, perhaps, varies by situation. So since the underlying shear is really the same, that would be a reason, yes, to allow tziruv to take place. So there's two sides of the coin here, and this indeed is the question of Rava. Can they be combined because we regard them as having the same shear? Ink always has the same shear. Could they lichtav shtei oisyeis? Or do we say, Well, the pathway is a bit different. The ink found in the inkwell needs a different shear than the ink on the quill itself, or the ink, which is dried ink, requires a different amount than the shear on the quill itself. So we have some variances in the initial shear to account for the lost ink along the way. So perhaps it's regarded as two different shiurim, and we cannot combine these two one letters worth of ink. Teiku, we leave it unresolved. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava. Hoitzi shtei oisis. If one indeed carries out ink with which contains two letters worth, but he hadn't placed it in Rishus Rabbim, he hadn't put it to rest. We know that for a melach of Eitzah, the mice of Eitzah encompasses two parts. There's the Akira, uprooting the item from one domain, from, for instance, the Rishus HaYachid, and placing it down to rest in the Rishus HaRabim. That is the Hanoch. So we need the Akira and the Hanoch. What if he did the Akira and he carried out the ink, but he hadn't really placed it down in the Rishus HaRabim? Rather, the Kosvon Kishu Mahalach. He went ahead and he wrote, he used the ink to write with it, those two letters, on a sheet of paper, in his hands, as he's walking. So he never placed the ink on the ground. He never even stopped himself. Chayev. He is chayev. Why? Ksivoson zuyanachason. These letters, the ksivosam, having them written, the fact that they are written, ksivosam, they're being written, zuyanachason, this is regarded as their coming to rest. Explains Rashi. The ikar hanochas dyoi alaksavu. The real place, the ideal place, the true place where ink is meant to end up is alaksav. It's meant to be written, recorded on a sheet of paper. Now, let's try to understand the svara. Because what is the svara of hanocha? Hanocha means the item has entered the new domain, has come to rest there, it's been incorporated in its new environment. That is the melacha v'etzah. You take it from one environment, from one domain, you place it down. And you need to have it come to rest in the new domain. These letters, once they've been recorded, they've been written down, they've arrived at their destination. They've come to rest, even though, practically speaking, they're still moving. He's holding the paper, he's walking. But the letters themselves, the ink itself, has come to rest. Tesis has a lashon, he says, he put it there, she'yishar shom le'olam. It's meant to stay there forever. That's its final destination, its final resting place. It's called Hanocha with regard to that ink. Ksivason zu anechasan. It's regarded as Hanocha, as though it has come fully to rest in its place, in its appropriate location, its appropriate environment. And therefore, it is considered to be a Hanocha, and he is chayev on account of doing that, is regarded as an Akira and an Hanocha. Continues the Gemara, Vamarav. What if he carries only one letter's worth of ink? The kasva, and he wrote with it, so he writes one letter. The chazar v'hoitzi, ois achas v'kasva. Then he goes back to Rishus HaYachid, he brings out another one letter's worth of ink, brings it out, the kasva, and he writes with it. So in total, he took out a full shear, but he did it step by step, incrementally. First he took out the ois achas of ink, wrote it down, went back, took another ois achas of ink, and brought it out and used it to write. Potter is potter. Why? Why don't we say that these two halves, amet starif, combined to equal a full shear of oitzah? Says the Gemara of my time, what is the reason for this exemption, for this tour? Be'idna, at the time, the apka, when he took out the Masraisa, the second letter's worth of ink, Chosele, Lishir de Kamaisa. The first shear, the first portion of ink, has already decreased its shear. Why? Rashi says, because when it dries up, it loses its volume. So right now, when he completed the Haitzah, when he took out the second portion of ink, he doesn't really have a total of a shear of Shtei Oisis of ink, because the first portion has already dried up and has lessened its quantity. and therefore he doesn't have a shear. So you must measure according to the end point, according to when he finishes the Yitzah, he completes taking out the two halves. At that point, we go back and measure. Do we have a shear? No, we don't have a shear, and therefore he's potter. The Amar Rav, Hoitzi Chatzi Gregeris. If a person carries out foodstuffs, food, Meichel Adam, which is fit for human consumption, and the shear on that is, as we learned in the Mishnah, a Gregeris, the volume which equals a dry fig. So he took out a half of that shear, a Chatzi Gregeris, Achas, V'Yimicha, and he placed it down in Shusurab. V'Chazar V'Hoitzi, Chatzi Gregeris Achas, V'Yimicha. He went and repeated the same thing again. He took out another half of Gergeris and planted it in Shusurab, placed it in Shusurab. Is he chayiv? Do we say that these two halves are mitzaref? They combine and they total the full share of Oichlin, which equal the volume of Gergeris. Now, of course, this happened behelim echad, meaning that he had not recognized, he had not discovered his mistake until he completed both halves. So they both took place in the same period, uninterrupted period of unawareness. Says Rav, he'll be potter. Why? Rishona, the first half, the first portion, nasa kimi shakolta kelev. We regard it as though a dog snatched it midair. For instance, if a person throws something into Shusurav and never lands, a dog comes and snatches it midair, he's potter because the hanocha, the resting, the landing, did not take place as a result of his mice, of his doing. The dog snatched it, so he's potter. Oish and nisrafa. Or alternatively, if the item was incinerated midair, it was burnt up before it landed. So those are cases where a person will be potter, says Rava. In our case as well, when he carries half and then he carries another half, he'll be potter. We regard it, we equate it with that halacha, as though the dog snatched it or it got burned midair and he's potter upotter. So it's more about my why. Why do you equate it to that case? Hamancha. The first half is still sitting there. Why do you say that, well, it's as though the dog snatched it, as though we have no hanocha? What do you mean? The first half is sitting right there. And surely it's waiting to complete the shear. Meaning the Gemara understood that Rava was telling us the fact that he took it out part by part, first the first half, placed it down, then went back to get the second half. Rava is equating it to the dog snatching, meaning the hanacha becomes nullified. It's as though we ignore the first half. It's as though it never landed, it never rested, and it can't be combined and joined to the second half. So Gemara had a problem with that. Vamai, why should you apply that svara here? This case is very different. The first half is still sitting there. It's present. He placed it there. It's right there. Hamancha. He did hanacha on the first half, and he's going to join the second half to the first half. Va'amai hamancha, says the Gemara Chachamim. This is what Rabbi meant to say. He wasn't speaking about this typical case of half and then half. He meant to say as follows. What happens if a person carries a half? V'im kodam v'igbia rishoyna. If he went ahead and picked up the first half prior to doing hanocha on the second half, so he took out one half, and prior to bringing out the second half, he lifted the first half off the ground. In that case, we don't have a shear. We don't have two halves sitting on the ground. Therefore, says the Gemara, Nasis Rishoyna, Kimishaniklata Shakalta Kelev Oshanisrafo Potter. In this case, certainly, we don't have anything to combine. It's as though the first one was snatched by a dog midair, as though it was burnt midair, meaning to say that the first haitzah, the first hanacha, became nullified. It's not here anymore. It's not in front of us. It's not present. It disappeared. It was lifted off the ground. Therefore, the second half can't join with it, can't combine with it to be mashlim the shear of haitzah, and therefore he's pat. Upater. V'amarav, another halacha. If one carries a half a gergeris, and he places it on the ground, and he goes back and does the same thing again with another half, and he hadn't really placed it on the ground yet, he has it in his hand, So you take the second half and he passes it over the airspace of the first half. Chayav, he is chayav. Even though he never really placed it down, he's still carrying it. Says the Gemara of Hamai, why is that so? Halay noch. The second half never landed. Kigoyin, says the Gemara, was speaking about the case Sheviro Teshlesh, that he passed the second half within three tfachim of the first half. So he passed it over the first half, and it was within three tfachim. And we know that there is a halach of lavud. A gap which is less than three tfachim is considered to be non-existent, is considered to be nullified, and therefore the second half is joining, can connect with the first half, and we have a total of a goygeris lying in Rosh Hashanah. Says, well, okay, you can combine it, but it still hadn't landed. And hanocha is a precondition for the malacha v'etzah. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, didn't Rava tell us? Toich shleish l'rabbanon, that something which is within three tfachim of the ground, or in this case, three tfachim of the first half, hergeres, according to the Rabbanon, tzorech hanocha gabi mashu. This is a machlekes later on regarding between Akiva and Rabbanon, something which is within three tfachim of the ground. According to Akiva, we say that it's kluta kemisha huncha, something which is within the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. It's as though it landed in Rosh Hashanah. Akiva says even higher than three tfachim, but the concept is that something which is in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, it's as though it landed in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbanon disagree with that. They hold that the only time we say that something could be regarded as landed is if it practically landed on the ground, or if it's within three tfachim to the ground, and provided that it did land on something. Meaning, ordinarily speaking, the typical hanacha is on a makam chashev, as we learned in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. We need a makam which is dalat tfachim, four tfachim long, four tfachim wide. We need a makam chashev, a significant area, a significant floor space, to place the item on it, to be regarded as a ma'isa hanacha. In this case, says the Gemara, once the item has reached within three tfachim of, for instance, the ground, so it's regarded somewhat as already having been enveloped by the Rosh Hashanah, but it still needs to land, at least on something, it needs to land even on a small, tiny area. It can't be in transit for it to be considered hanacha. Says the Gemara, so in our case, when he has the first half of Gergera sitting on the ground, and he goes and takes the second half, passes it within three tfachim, it's still in transit. So even though it's within three tfachim, according to the Rabbanon, we say that it's not hanoch. So how can you say that in this case it'll be chayv? Again, says the Gemara inside, Va'amar Rav. Didn't Rav tell us? Toich shlesh, even when it's within three tfachim, the Rabbanon, according to the Shita Rabbanon, tzorech hanoch al gabi mashu. Needs to land on something, it can't be in transit. Says, Mloy Kash is not difficult. Kan bezorek, that halacha is referring to Zurich. If one tosses an item to Shusarabim, so while it's in transit, it's not regarded as Hanacha, unless it actually lands on something. So even when it's within three tfachim of the ground, it needs to at least land on a mash or on some small minute area, according to Rabbanon, to be considered Hanacha. Kan b'mavir. In our case, he is holding the second half in his hand. He's being mavir, he's passing it. In this case, we don't need a Hanacha on the floor, because the item itself is not really in transit. He's moving the item. The item on its own account is really in a stationary position. It's not moving. He's moving the item. Therefore, in this case, it is sufficient to be regarded as hanacha, once again, provided that it's within three tfachim of the ground, or within three tfachim of the first half of the gergeris. Continues the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brice. Hoitzi chatzi gergeris. If one takes out a half a gergeris, v'hadzav v'hoitzi chatzi gergeris, and he goes and repeats that again, behelim echot, if he does it within one lapse of forgetfulness, chayav, he is chayav. We combine the two halves, and he's chayav achatas. B'shtei alemus, if there is some interruption between, meaning he discovered his mistake, and then he went ahead and completed with the second half, that discovery, that awareness, splits the two, and they cannot be mitzaref for rechiv chatos, potter is potter. Rabbi Yossi Omer, even behelam echot, if it was done with one lapse of awareness, He's not always chayiv. It depends where he took out those two halves. Lirshus echad, if he took them both out to the same rishus rab, chayiv, then he is chayiv. Lirshtei rishuis, but if he took them out to two rishus rabbims, we'll see what that means soon, then he's potter. So they must come out to the same area. Amar Rabba, what does he mean? V'hu provided sheyesh chiyuv chatis b'neim. What he means to say is as follows, that the rishus rabbim was split by a rishus, by a domain, which is a biblical rishus, rishus hayachid. V'hu sheyesh chiyuv chatis b'neim, between the two portions of rishus rabbim, there is a rishus which carries a potential chatis, meaning it's a rishus harab, a rishus min ha-Torah, for instance, rishus hayachid. But if you have Aval Karmelis, but if there's a Karmelis which is a merely a rabbinic domain, that's not significant enough to split up the Yishus Rabim. So if one would take a half a Gergeris to one side of the Karmelis and the other one, the other side, again, he's putting them both into Yishus Rabim. But the first one was in Yishus Rabim on one side of the Karmelis, and the other half was placed in Rishus Rabim on the other side of the Karmelis. The Karmelis is not significant enough of a Rishus to be mafsik that Rishus Rabim to split into two, and therefore it's chayv. But if there's a Rishus HaYachid, which is splitting the Rishus Rabim into two, he places a half on one side, a half on the other side, the Rishus HaYachid splits it into two, and they're not mitzdarif to a chiv. Abaya Marfilo Karmelis. Even a Karmelis can split up the Rishus Rabim. Aval Pislaloi, but merely a block of wood, that doesn't have the power to do that. Rav Amavilu Pisla, even if there's a block of wood which is splitting up the width of the Rishus Rabim, even in that case, we regard it as two separate Rishus Rabims, and they cannot be mitzdarif together. Va'azda Rav Latamei, Rav follows his own opinion. He's compatible with his Shita, Dama Rava Rishus Shabbos. Kirishus Gittin Damya. There's an equation between Shabbos and Gittin. Rashi explains, for instance, in the case where a person would throw a get to his wife, so halacha is he can throw it either to her directly or into her property. What if the husband loans her a property? He says, well, you can have this yard for the sake of he wants to throw the get there, so he loans her the yard. So now it's considered hers. He could toss the divorce document into that yard, and she becomes divorced. Now, what if there's a pisla there? What if there's a block of wood there in this yard, and the get actually lands on the pisla itself? So Rabbah tells us, it doesn't work. Why? Because the pisla is considered to be its own separate area, has its own use. It's used differently than the area around it. It's an elevated space. It's regarded as its own place. And therefore, the get doesn't work because he loaned her his yard, not the block of wood, not the space on top of the block of wood. It's considered like its own place. Says the Gemara, apparently Rava is indeed following along with this Shita, because Rava over here by us tells us the same thing, that if there's the Pisla, which is traversing the Rishus Rabim, it will split the Rishus Rabim into two. We see that a Pisla is regarded as its own separate Makim Shemesh, his own Makim, and therefore, in our case, it will split the Rishus Rabim, and if he carries a half a Gregoris to one side of the Pisla, the other half of the Gregoris to the other side, they will not combine, they will not join forces to be mitzdarf, to be mechayev echiv chatas. So in summary, we learned the halacha of hamoitzi diyoy, what is the sheer sufficient amount of ink to write with the two letters. The Gemara told us it's irrelevant whether the diyoy is found in a solid form, dried form, or it's in the comus, the quill, or in the kalmar, in this inkwell. What about being mitzarif? Ink found in all these places, the Gemara left it unresolved with a teku. Gemara told us a chiddush. Ksivosan zu anechasan. Merely writing these letters, even while walking, is regarded as though that ink has come to rest. The hanacha was performed. What if he writes one letter and goes back and brings out another letter's worth of ink and writes it? He's potter because the initial letter has dried up. And now he's left with less than a shear. Less than a shear of shtei oisis of diyoy. The Gemara proceeded with the halacha of hoitzas oichlin, which is a shear of gergeris, equaling a volume of a dried fig. So if one was mitzi a half a shear, went back inside and brought another half, The Gemara told us he's potter because we're speaking about where he lifted the first half off the ground prior to placing the second half on the ground. We have no shear to combine. What if he took out a half and then went back to take another half and carried it within three tefachim in the airspace of the first half within three tefachim? He's chayiv. The Gemara told us that if he carried two halves behelam echad within one lapse of awareness, he's chayiv. Rabbi Yossi told us if he places them into two reshuyos, he's potter. What does it mean two reshuyos? Rabbi says it means that there's a shusayach, it's splitting the shusarab into two. Abai says even a karmis can accomplish that. Rava says, even a pisla, a block of wood, can accomplish that split. Continues the Gemara. Kechoil, what is the shear, what is the amount? Minimum amount of kechoil is eye paint for Yitzhah Shabbos, k'dei likechoil ayin achas, sufficient to apply to one eye. Says the Gemara, ayin achas? Holei kachli. Who applies only to one eye? Why don't you require sufficient amount to apply to both eyes, which seems to be the common practice? Amar of Huna Shekain Snois, Koichlois Ayin Achas, because the modest women who cover their face and only leave one eye exposed, so they only need one portion of this Koil to apply to their one exposed eye, and therefore that is the Shiur Namish. Meisive says the Gemara Kash, Rav Shimon Lozo Eimer, Kechoil, what is the Shiur of Koil? Im L'Refua, if the Koil is meant for remedial purpose, for refuah, in that case, less is required. They likhoil ayin achas, sufficient amount to apply to one eye for the refuah. Im lekashet, if the purpose of the koil here is for purification purposes, bebezenai, you need enough to apply to both eyes. So this seems to be a kasha, because we just said Rav Huna told us that even for beauty purposes, one eye is sufficient. Says the Gemara Tirguma. Hillel braid Rashua Nachmeni. So he explained as follows. Kitanya hi. This brisa, which requires a larger amount sufficient to apply to two eyes, is speaking about Kitanya hi. Kitanya hu. Biironiyos. We're speaking of women who dwell in the villages. So Rashi explains in those areas, in the towns, the villages, there's little schoik b'kalas reish. There's no. Not much frivolity present, and therefore the nashim there, the women are not so particular about covering themselves to that extent as they do in the cities, because the frivolity is not so prevalent, not so common there. Therefore, they allow themselves to expose themselves a bit more, and to expose both eyes, and therefore they indeed need the koil to be applied to both eyes, and that is the discussion, that is the context of the brisa here, which requires a larger amount, k'delikhoil, shtei einai. However, the city dwellers, they only leave one eye exposed, and therefore, in that case, the k'choil would be a shear to be applied to one eye only. Continues the Gemara, shava, what is the shear of wax? They litain api nek of katan, to close up a small puncture. Tana, we learned in the Brisa, they litain api nek of katan shel yain, to close up a small puncture in a barrel of wine, which is a very small puncture. Wine doesn't need much to trickle out, so they would only make a small puncture to get the wine out, as opposed to a hole for the to get the for oil or for honey, which would be a wider hole. So here we're speaking about a very small hole, and that small amount of wax to close up that hole is sufficient for Yitzhah Shabbos. To continue the Gemara, Devek glue, k'dei litain b'risha shafshef, to place on top of the board. What does this mean? Tanam learned in the Brisa. K'dei litain b'roish shafshef, to place on the board, she b'roish kana shel tzayodin, which is perched on top of the pole used by the tzayodin, the bird trappers. So they would place the glue on top to trap the birds. Zephes v'gofres, pitch and sulfur, k'dei lasois, says the Gemara, k'tana k'dei lasois nekev katan, to make a small hole. A couple of explanations of this Gemara. So Rashi in the Mishnah told us that this was a container which contained liquid mercury. So first they would close up, they would stuff up the opening of this kli with the zephes v'gofres, but then they would puncture a small hole in the in this plug in order to extract the mercury. So one shot is that The Zephas V'Gafras required here is the amount which can plug up this hole and still allow, it's large enough to still allow a puncture there to be made. The other pshat is that after they plugged it up with the Zephas or the Gafras, then they puncture the plug to extract some of the mercury. And the shear of Zephas V'Gafras that we're speaking here is to reseal just a little bit of Zephas V'Gafras, enough to reseal that small puncture which was made in the plug of the Zephas V'Gafras. Continues Gemara, Charsis, crushed brick. Kedelas is pikur, to go ahead and fashion the opening of the mission says pikur shel tzerfezov, this little furnace for the gold refiners. They would fashion a little opening where they would insert the bellow to fan the flame there. So this is the amount of crushed brick that is regarded as significant for Melachas Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says, Rido Eimek de Lasis Pitfoot, to make a tripod. That is the Lashon and the Mishnah and the Fein Chesem Beis. Now it appears that the shear, the amount of Rav Yehuda, is actually greater than the Rabbanon. He requires enough to make a tripod. Says Mar, is that so? Lememra, do you propose the shear of Rav Yehuda Nafish, that the amount of Rav Yehuda is actually larger, is greater than that of the Rabbanon? Ha-kaimalan, but we know for a fact, the shiur the Rabbanon Nafish, when it comes to the shiurim here, of Vaitayas Shabbos, the Rabbanon are the one who provide larger shiurim. They are more lenient when it comes to these things. The Snan, as we learned in the Mishnah, back on Chesam and Aleph, this was regarding the gemi, this reed grass. So what was the shiur according to the Rabbanon? Sufficient amount to make a tlai, a hanging loop for a sieve, a sifter, which is a large amount. Rav Yehuda says, no, even less than that is significant, is sufficient for liability. What is the shear? Rav Yehuda says, the little memenu minas mina lakotim, to use it as a measurement for the child's foot, to give it to the shoemaker, to order his shoes. This is a smaller measurement than the Rabbanon. Let's see in the Gemara. The Snan is related to the Mishnah. Rido Eimer, k'dei litil himenu, to use the gemi, to take with it midas mina lakotan, to take the size for the shoe size. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's machmir, more stringent. He says even a smaller amount is sufficient for liability. So how come in this case of the crushed brick, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who gives us a larger shear? Says the Gemara, let's reinterpret the words of Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't mean sufficient amount to actually fashion a tripod. Ema say as follows, k'dei losut, pitput kiriktana. K'dei losut, meaning to shore up, to fix up the tripod of a small oven, which got a little cracked up. So he's using the charsis to repair it, which indeed is a very small amount, a smaller measure than the amount provided by the Rabbanon, which was Kedlasis Pikur, to fashion the opening of the Kur, which was a greater amount. Continues the Gemara, Subin, Bran, Kedelitin al Pikur, Shel Tzarefizov, to use as fuel for this furnace of the gold refiners. Rashi says when they didn't have any coals, they would use Bran as fuel. Tanar Rabbanon will enter a price. How much is Seir, if one carries that here? What is the minimum amount? Kedelagavu Beisatit, to mix into the cement mixture. How much cement are we speaking about? Says Tosfos, the amount of cement, the amount of clay which was produced using a revius of liquid. Continues the Brisa, tit, what is the shear? The minimum amount of tit of clay itself. Lasso is pikur, to fashion the opening of the furnace, shot surface of the gold refiners. Continues the Gemara, sid k'dei losit, ton of glint in the Brisa. What is the amount of lime, what is the minimum requirement? K'dei losit etzbak tana shuvabonis, a sufficient amount of lime, which is enough to smear on the small finger, on the pinky finger of a girl. Rashi says they should actually apply it to the entire body, but the Gemara will tell us later, they did it incrementally, part by part, aver by aver. Therefore, it's sufficient if he carries out a bit of lime, which is enough to smear on one, on the etzbaktana, on the small finger, on the pinky of the girl. Rashi says they did it to enhance the glow, lihadim, to redden the skin, to enhance the appearance of the skin. The Gemara will tell us later they did it also to remove unwanted hair. Amar Vida Marav, B'nai Yisrael, Jewish daughters, she give lul pirkan, that have begun sprouting hair, which was a sign of maturity, perhaps we're speaking about the pubic hair, but they have not yet come of age, and they were embarrassed about the presence of these hairs. Benois anim, so daughters, poor daughters, toifleis oison besid, so daughters of paupers would use sid, lime, to smear on their hair, to remove the hair. Benois hashirim, wealthier ones, toifleis oison besoilis, they would use pure psoilis as the fine flour. Benois malachim, daughters of kings, of royalty, toifleis oison b'shemen hamor, they would use shemen hamor for this purpose. Shenemar, as it says by Achashverosh, Shisha Chadosha b'Shemen Hamor. For 6 months, they would anoint themselves with this Shemen Hamor. My Shemen Hamor, what exactly is this? Rav Huna Barachi Amar Sadkas is some sort of fragrant oil. Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amar, it's actually something else. It's Shemen Zayis, olive oil, which was extracted from unripe olives. Shemen Zayis Shleihevi Shlish, from olives which have not yet grown to a third of their growth. Tanya Rabbi Doim on Piknon. This is a term used in Gemara Menachos, which tells us that one may not use this form, this on Piknon, for Menachos. What exactly is this? This is also referring to Shemen Zayis, olive oil, Shlehevi Shlish, which was extracted from these young, unripe olives. V'lo Masachon Oisoi, why would somebody anoint himself with this oil? Shemesher Saseh, because it removes the hair, Ma'adenes Abasar, and enhances the glow of the skin. Rabbi Havile Barta, Rabbi had a daughter, Tufla. He applied the lime, aver, one limb at a time. He didn't want to overdo it. If you do too much at a time, a person can be harmed. The overheating can have a detrimental effect. So he does it one aver at a time. And her appearance enhanced so significantly as a result of this. Shakalba Dalad Meizuzi. There were many who wanted to marry her. Rashi says they were actually suitable candidates. And as a result, he received on her behalf 400 zuz. Now there was this person who observed this, Hava Hunachi. There was this Gentile, Bishavusei, lived in his neighborhood, who observed this phenomenon. He says, you know, if this enhances the appearance so significantly, I'm going to do the same to my daughter. Hava Leparti, he had a daughter. Tafla B'chad Zimna. He didn't know how to do it, so he did it all at once. So he smeared it all at once, Umesa, and she died as a result. And he complained, Omar, he said, call to Rav Bibi Lebarti, Bibi killed my daughter. So he didn't know how to do it, so he blamed Rav Bibi. Omar Rav Nachman, Rav Bibi de Shasi Shichra, Rav Bibi who was accustomed to drinking beer. Rashi says, beer darkens the skin, increases the hair growth. Therefore, Bayon Bante, his daughters need the smearing. Anan, we, the Leisha Sina Shichra, are not accustomed to drinking beer. Loi Bayon Banton, our daughters don't need Tafla, this application of wine. So, in summary, this was the shita of the Tanakama, that the amount, the minimum requirement of a Tzol Shabbos when it comes to Sid to lime, is if it has a sufficient volume to smear on an espectan. We have two other shitas. Avida says, Kedei Losod Kilko, and Rav Chemi says, Kedei Losod Undifi. The Gemara will explain what these terms mean. Says Gemara, Avida Oime, Kedei Losod Kilko, to apply lime on Kilko. My Kilko. What is that? Umayan dipi, which Rav Nechemi is referring to. What are these two things? Omar Rav, Tzida, the temple. So Kilkel is referring to the temple area. They would apply the lime there as well. Ubas Tzida, the place underneath the temple. That is referred to in the term Andifi. So Rav Yehuda is referring to Kilkel, which is the temple. A sufficient lime to place on that area. Rav Nechemi says, the amount of lime needed for the area underneath the temple, the Bas Tzida, and that is the term Andifi, which he uses. And the Gemara knew that the shear of Rav Nechemi is actually a smaller amount than Rav Yehuda. Says Gemara, so how does that work? Le'meimra. Do you mean to say the shear of Rav Yehuda Nafish, that the amount that Rav Yehuda sets forth is larger in volume than Rav Nechemi? Ha'kai Milan, we know, the shear of the Rabbana Nafish, that the shear of the Rabbana is generally greater, larger than Rav Yehuda's shear. So how can you see that Rav Yehuda here provides a greater volume than Rav Chemi? Says the Gemara, indeed, here too, it will be aligned with that rule. Why? Because Zutim is the Rabbanon. If you line up the Shitas, let's begin from the Tanakama, the Rabbanon, which tell us, Sid is Kedei Losud Ezbak Tana Shebebonis. That's indeed a larger volume. So Rabbi Yehuda, who's a step under that, below that, who says they lost the kilkel, that's actually a smaller share than the Rabbanon. So in reference to the Rabbanon, he's being machmer. He provides a smaller share, zutim in the Rabbanon. He's less than the Rabbanon. However, in contrast to Rabbi Nechemiah, who is a step under him, indeed his share is greater. But as long as his share is less than the Rabbanon, then it's compatible with the klal that the share of the Rabbanon is generally greater than Rabbi Yehuda. Says Dinmar, how can you say that we're referring to the tzida and the bas tzida, the temple, and underneath the temple, may say Rebbe Kashma Breis, Amar Rebbe, Nirin, the Rebbe Yehuda, I agree with Rebbe Yehuda Shit, that the amount is measured by they lost at kilkel, I agree with that, when it comes to bechavet, the type of lime which is the dissolved type of lime which is used to smear on that area. So indeed, this type of lime is suitable for that purpose, and therefore the shear is determined by that use. So I agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to chavet, diluted lime, dissolved lime. The divrei Rabbi Nechemiah, however, I agree with Rabbi Nechemiah, the beitza sasid. I maintain that the shear of Nechemiah is correct when we are discussing beitza sasid. Rashi says this is what the lumpy lime formed into egg-shaped lumps, a thicker type of lime, and therefore that type of lime was used for the andifi. And therefore, I agree with Rabbi Nechemiah's shear when it comes to this type of lime, which was suitable for this type of purpose. Says the Gemara, if you're going to propose that Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about the tzida of the temple, Rabbi Nechemiah is speaking about the bas tzida, tzida bas tzida, one never uses lumpy lime for the bas tzida, idi chavet. In those areas, all they use is the chavet, the diluted lime. So apparently, Rabbi, who's referencing Rabbi Nechemiah's use to the Beitz HaSasid, this is the type of lime used for his function, it can't be that he's referring to smearing the temple area, which they never use lumpy lime for. So that can't be the pshat in Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah says on DP, it can't be referring to the area below the temple, because they never use this type of lime. Ella Omer Rav Yitzchak Amri Dever Rami. So in the Beis Medrash Rami, they explain, interpreted, indeed, the word, the term andipi, is not referring to smearing on the face, rather, a'andipa. Andipa, says Rashi, is a klicheres, which had a double spout. So they would plug up one of these spouts with this thick lime. A'andipa, the lime placed on this, in this klicheres. So indeed, lumpy lime was used for that purpose. And therefore it makes sense that Rabbi says, I agree with Rabbi Nechemiah when it comes to Beit HaSasid, which was used for the Andipi, to plug up this Klicheres, and therefore the shear is determined according to the use of the Andipi. Maskelef Kahana, how can you say lime is used to plug up the Klicheres, where they place wine in there? The wine will get harmed, will get damaged, will get ruined by dissolving the lime. V'chi Adam, oisa ma'oisa, will a person make his money on paris? Will he forfeit his money? Will he lose his money? Is it just like that? How could you propose that lime is used for this purpose? The wine that's poured in there will dissolve the lime and will get ruined. Elam Rav Kahana, on DP apparently means something else. Shnosa is referring to these marks which were built into the measuring cups. This not as we learned in the Mishnah. Shnosa sayu behin. This hin was a large measuring container which contained a hin of liquid. So they made marks. This is used for the nesachim. Ad kan lepar, up until here, the halfway mark was the volume of liquid needed for the par. Ad kan le'ayil, third way up was for the ayil. Ad kan le'keves, a quarter way up was for the keves. So these were the marks they made in the measuring cup. As Rashi explains, they would color it with sid, with lime, to brighten it, so that it be white and noticeable. And that is andipi that Rabbi Nechemiah is referring to, the lime placed on these marks. And indeed, for that purpose, they would use the basis hasid, this lumpy lime. The boisema, another pshat in andifa, is my andipa apusa. It's speaking about one's forehead. So Rashi says they would place the this basis hasid, this type of lime, on the forehead to redden it, to enhance its glow. So we have four pshatim in andifi. Now, where do we find that the term andifi is referring to a forehead? As we find in the following story, v'chiha, d'ahu bar glila, there was this fellow from Galil, from Eretz Yisrael, d'ikal of Bavel. He came to Bavel. The Amalei, they told him, kum, d'roish lanu, come teach us b'masim rakava, come teach us a bit about the Masa Merkava, the heavenly systems over there, all these secrets. Amar Lu, he says, I can't. Amar Lu, he said, Ezrish Lehu, you think I'm going to go teach you? Just as Rechemia taught these concepts, the subject to his friends. And you know what happened as a result? Vinofkas Arisa, a hornet came out, min kaisel from the wall, umachi, and struck him bantipi on the forehead. Umis, and he died. So I don't want to get involved in this type of in this topic. V'amrlei, and when that happened to Rechemia, they said about him, min delay delay. It happened because of him. He's responsible for his death. He should not have discussed these hidden portions of Torah and taught it in public. So we refuse to teach them this topic. But in any case, we see that the term andifi is referring to a forehead. So in summary, what is the shear of sid? We have three shiurim. The amount of lime necessary to smear, either according to Rabbana on an etzba ktana shebebanis, according to Rav Yehuda on the kilkel, which we say is the temple, and according to Rechemia on the andipi. We have four pshatim, either the area below the temple, the basida, either to plug up the klicheres, or to color the marks on the measuring container, and finally to smear on the padachas, on the forehead. Continues the Mishnah. Adama, what is the shear of earth? Someone explains to me a specific red type of clay. Kechoisam amartzuf, amount necessary to create a seal on a merchandise container which was sent by ship, so they would seal it up with this type of clay. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Chacham, you don't need that much. Kechoisam ha'igur, sufficient to seal a letter. Zevel, animal waste. V'chadadak, fine sand. What is the shear? Kedei lezabil, to fertilize kelach shel kruv, one plant, one stalk of cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Chacham, you don't need that much. Kedei lezabil kresha, enough to fertilize a leek. Cholagas, more coarse sand. What is the shear? Kedei litin, to place a maloi kafsid on a spoonful worth of lime. They used to mix the sand in there. So whatever is necessary to place, to mix into this one spoon, that is the shear of Haytel Shabbos. Kona, what is the shear of a reed? Kedei lasis kumus, to fashion from it a quill. Vimo yaavef, was thick and unsuitable to be made into a pen, or imurusis, or crushed. Then we have a different benchmark. Kedei levashel b'beitzel kala, it's going to be used as fuel. So enough of it to cook up a beitza kala, an easily cooked egg. The Gemara is going to explain that it means a chicken egg. Shebe beitzim, beitza kala, shebe beitzim. The easiest egg of eggs. Trufa, mixed up, stirred up with oil. Unusunim be'ulfas, and placed in a pan. The Rambam says it's speaking about a heated pan. So it's a very small amount of fuel that's needed to cook up this egg. Continues the Gemara. The shear of chayla gas was an amount which is sufficient to place al maloi kafsid. Now, what type of a kaf, what size kafsid are we speaking about? Tanav going to the Brisa de litin al pi kaf so sayodin, to place into the spoon, this trowel used by the plasterers. This was a standard size spoon. Man tana the choil mali lisid. So the Mishnah seems to indicate that sand is actually beneficial for lime. Who is this? Who is the Shita? Which view does our Mishnah represent? Mantana, who holds the Choyl Malil Sid, that sand is actually beneficial for lime? Omer of Chizda, Rav Yudi. The sand, as we learned, this is referring to after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Chachamim instructed us to minimize Simcha and to downgrade the beauty of our homes. The Brisa says, Lo Yosod Adam, a person should not plaster up as Beis Hamikdash, should not plaster up his home with lime. Elin Cain, unless he mixed into it tevan, straw, choyl, or sand, which downgrades its appearance, darkens it, and only in that case it's mutter. Ravido Aimer, tevan mutter. If he mixes straw, I agree that it's mutter. But choyl, if he mixes sand into the lime, that actually enhances it. Therefore it's aser, but Peshu attracts it, because it strengthens it. It makes the lime stronger, and it's actually of a higher quality. So therefore, it doesn't really help matters. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that maintains that sand increases, enhances the quality of the lime. And indeed, his view is the one that's reflected in our Mishnah. However, the Rabbanan, who allow the sid to be used, even when it has the chayil, apparently they don't subscribe to this. Says Gemara, no, Rav Amar, Afilu Teim Rabbanan, even if you're going to say that Al-Mishnah represents the Shittas Rabbanan, it's still going to work out. Why? The Rabbanan agree that sand enhances the quality of the lime. However, it downgrades its appearance. It darkens it. Therefore, they allow it to be used after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kilkulay, the fact that it ruins its appearance, Zeo Tikunay, that is the exact same reason why they allow it to be used. So the quality gets increased, but the appearance, it loses the enhanced appearance of the lime. Therefore, they allow it to be used. Rav Yehuda focuses on the quality. He says adding the choil increases its quality, enhances its durability, and therefore it's us. So Rabbanan speaking, looking at the appearance, and Rav Yehuda is looking at the quality. But both agree that the quality indeed increases benefits through the inserting of the choil. Continues the Gemara. Konek, that's just kumas, a reed sufficient to fashion from it a quill. Tana, we learned kumas hamagia, how large size kumas are we speaking about? Hamagia lekishrei tzboisim, that reaches his knuckles. Boiravashi, which knuckles are we speaking about? Kesher elyon, the knuckle between the finger and the palm, that's how long it has to be. Oy kesher atachtein, or the knuckle below that. Teiku, we leave it unresolved. If it was unsuitable to be used for a quill, then it's going to be used as fuel. So enough needed to cook up this egg. Tanim learned to the rice. Trufa b'shemen, mixed up with oil, unusin b'ilfis, placed in a pan. And that's the amount of kana needed to cook up this egg. It's already placed in the pan. Omalei, marbrei d'ravina, livrei, yes, the son as follows. Mishmilch, have you heard? Beitza kalamai. When the Mishnah says a beitza kalamai, an easy egg, a light egg, which egg are we referring to? Amalei be'asa titzotzala, an egg of a young dove. So it's very small. So he says, my time, why do you say it's that type of egg? Mishum dezutra, because it's very small. So I'll find you a smaller egg. Hema, titziparta. Perhaps it's speaking about a smaller egg of a hummingbird. Ishtik, so he remains silent. Amalei, so his son asked him, midi shmiel chaba? Okay, so have you heard anything in this regard? Why it's called beitzakala? What is it referring to? He told me, yes, indeed. This is what Rav Sheshes said. So speaking about a chicken egg. Why did they call it with the term beitza kala? Because it cooks the easiest. Chacham estimated, there's no easier egg. There's no egg that cooks quicker and faster. It's quicker than a chicken egg. Says the Gemara. Umayishna, why is it different? That kol shiuri Shabbos kriyageris. Whenever we discuss a malacha pertaining to foodstuffs, we say that a malacha that was applied, that was done with a shear of a gergeris, which is a dried fig, that is regarded as significant and sufficient. V'hachakabetza, and here we require a larger amount. We say a reed which can cook up an entire egg is regarded as significant. Why do we need such a large amount? Amar leis, he said, hachem Rav Nachman. Indeed, Rav Nachman said as follows. Over here as well, all we need is kigregeris mi beitzakal. We only need a portion of this egg, a portion which equals the volume of a dried fig, to be heated up by this reed. So this portion of a chicken egg, indeed, it's compatible with all the other shiurim of Malacha Shabbos. Okay, time for a quick chazara on today's daf. We began with the halacha of one who is moitzi dioi. We require a shear, an amount sufficient to write two oisis. It doesn't matter whether it's dry ink, whether it's in a kumas, a quill, or in a inkwell, a kalmarin. The Gemara told us that ksivasan, their writing, is regarded as their having rested, hanachasan. If he writes one letter and lets it dry up and then brings out another letter's worth of ink, it does not combine since the shear has already become decreased and diminished. What if one takes out food, a shear of gergeris, but does it incrementally? First he brings out a half. Then when he's going to bring out the second half, he lifts the first half off the ground. They don't combine any longer. What if he brings out a half? And the second half he brings over the airspace of the first half within three tefachim, he is chayif. The Gemara told us if he brings out two halves into two sections of shesurabim, which were split up, they were considered to be two rishuyos in his pata. Rabbi says they need to be split up with rishus hayachid. Abai says even a karmel can do that split. Rabbi says even a block of wood. We proceeded with the halacha of a sid. What is the amount of lime? We have three shiurim according to Rabbanan. Sufficient to smear on a pinky, according to Rav Yehuda, the temple, according to Rav Chaim Yandipi, we have four pshatim on that. We proceeded with the Mishnah, which gave us various shiurim for several items, and we concluded with the halacha of a kan of a reed. If it's suitable to be used for a quill, then the shiur is a sufficient amount to fashion a kumus, which is ad kishresh be'oisa, which reaches his knuckles. We're unsure whether we're speaking about the knuckles which connect the finger to the palm, or the knuckle below that. We leave it unresolved. If it's unsuitable to be used as a quill, then we use a shear, an amount which is suitable to be mevashel, an amount of gergeris from a basis tarnagoyos, which is already beat with oil, placed in a pan, trufa unesuna be'ilfas, and that is the shear of Aitzah Shabbos.